Good evening. There is a story of a preacher in Red Rock, Mississippi that led this prayer in a sermon. And I thought I was going to do this in a southern accent, but I've kind of lost my nerve on that. But here's what he said. He said, "O Lord, give thy servant this morning the eyes of the eagle and the wisdom of the owl. Connect his soul with the gospel telephone in the central skies. Illuminate his brow with the sun of heaven. Possess his mind with love for the people. Turpentine his imagination. Grease his lips with possum oil. Loosen his tongue with the sledgehammer of thy power. Electrify his brain with lightning of the word. Put perpetual motion on his arms. Fill him plumb full of dynamite of thy glory. Anoint him all over with kerosene oil of thy salvation and set him on fire. Amen." We would all agree that would be an unusual prayer. And there are many unusual prayers throughout Scripture. But there's one in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 that may be one of the most unique. For centuries, it's caught the attention of a lot of Bible students. Because other things, it kind of pops up in the middle of a text that you wouldn't really expect it. In a very long and boring genealogy. In verses 4 through 6 there of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, it says, Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha, and then Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nera. Nera bore him Ahazam, Hefer, Timnai, and Harashtari. And it goes on and on and on like that. And trust me, it's all important to somebody. It may not appeal to you or me, but it is important to someone. But here, in the middle of a very standard and maybe boring list, the chronicler pauses to mention this story about Jabez and his two-sentence prayer. And I think when God does something like that, places something unusual in the midst of commonplace, he's trying to get our attention. And we realize here as we read this that God is using this contrast, maybe like a jeweler uses black velvet under a diamond to show off its beauty. I think the second reason that this prayer catches a Bible student's attention is because it's so short. Again, it's only two sentences long, depending on what version you're reading, and less than 30 words. There's not a whole lot to this prayer, but it may have been this prayer that set Jabez apart from his brothers. We're told that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and this prayer is our only proof of that. And then, after this prayer, we're told that God granted his request. And that's the whole story of Jabez. Frankly, this has got to be quite a prayer to be that short and to receive this much honor. The last thing that attracts so much attention is the nature of this prayer. It seems selfish. It's all about me. Or says, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." Somehow it just doesn't seem saintly to pray such a self-centered prayer. And yet, far from being offended, God is impressed. God grants Jabez's request. There's a popular book that's out there, and it dwells on this prayer. And that author believes the power of that prayer is directly tied to what he's been called to do. And he says this, that this petition has radically changed what I expect of God and what I experience every day by his power. Now, I wouldn't subscribe to everything or the theology that the writer does in this book, but his speaking of what the prayer does speak to us. It means that it can help us know what happens when God blesses you. According to a lot of scholars, we're told that Jabez lived in Israel during the time of the Judges. Right after Joshua and Israel had conquered Palestine, men like Jabez were taught from childbirth about their great ancestor Abraham. And I'm probably wearing you out with Abraham stories, but they would have heard again and again about the covenant God had made with this patriarch. And the key part of God's covenant with Abraham was this statement. When God said to Abram, "I will make you a great nation and I will bless you. I will make you great and you will be a blessing." Now, there are some people who take a key verse of Scripture and make it their own. Probably several of you out there have done the same. I like Ephesians 2:10, where Paul says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Well, I think maybe in the same vein that that's what Jabez has done when he heard this great promise from God to Abraham, that he said to himself, "I want to be blessed like that." I believe that he literally took that scripture of Genesis 12:2 as his personal text. And maybe if that's true, then what kind of blessing did Abraham receive that Jabez would want? Again, if we look back in Genesis 12, consider just two of the blessings mentioned there. One, God promised to make Abraham's name great, that he would become a great man. And two, he would make Abraham a blessing. And did God make good on those blessings? Did Abraham receive a great name? Well, I think even to this day, if you mention the name of Abraham, most people are going to know who you're talking about. To this day, many people at the mention of Abraham will be able to tell you about his faithfulness, of how Israel became a nation. They will know that it was the very key beginning of Jesus' ancestry. To this day, if you mention the name of Abraham, many, especially Christians, should know that he was called the father of the faithful. Indeed, Abraham received a great name. And because of his great name, it was through him that all nations were blessed, because it was through his lineage that Jesus was born. Now, Jabez may not have understood all of the implications of God's promise to Abraham in Genesis 12, but he had seen enough of what God has done in the name of Abraham that he deeply wanted that kind of blessing. But how does one go about receiving that kind of blessing? Well, when it comes to becoming a great man, a man with a great name, the Bible is very clear on how we receive that. In the book of Luke, in chapter 22, there in verses 24 through 27, we're told that a dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered the greatest. And Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you who serves." In other words, someone who aspires to be a great man or woman, a person who desires to have a great name, is the one who is willing to be a servant. Or in another way, if you or I want to make a difference in our lives, we need to understand this equation. The servant of all will be the greatest in the kingdom. This is God's way for people to become great. They become great by having real value, by making a difference in this world, but not a difference based upon our looks or our riches or our homes, but based upon servanthood. The blessings of Abraham is the blessing of becoming valuable. In other words, we are blessed in a way we will achieve importance because it will matter how we lived and that we lived. Really, when you think about it, most people don't make a difference. It really wouldn't matter whether they lived or they died because they don't really add much to the world around them. They just simply exist. They watch TV, they play games, they putt around the house, they go to work, they go to sleep, and then one day they die. There's a little poem that says, "There was a very cautious man who never laughed or played. He never risked, he never tried, he never sang or prayed. And when one day he passed away, his insurance was denied, for since he never really lived, they claim he never died." Well, that's kind of a terrible epitaph to have on your tombstone, to have it said that we never really lived. Jack London, the famous author, realized that when he wrote, "I'd rather be ashes than dust. I would rather have my spark burn out in a brilliant blaze than to be stifled by dry rot." I would rather make, or rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in a magnificent glow, than a sleepy and perseverant planet. The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. Well, if we receive the blessing of Abraham, God will make our lives a brilliant blaze, a superb meteor, a magnificent glow. It will matter that we lived. And I suspect that somebody has been praying that blessing for us here. This congregation has not only attained this property and built this building, but we really have baptized an untold number of people into Christ. We have supported numerous missionaries, both in the U.S. and abroad. As a congregation, in a sense, we have received the blessing of Abraham that Jabez prayed for. And I think we should continue to pray for that. And I would ask that you would commit ourselves to that prayer. It was said one day that Michelangelo entered into a studio to examine the work of his students. And as he came to the painting of one of his favorite pupils, he stood and he looked at it for a long time. And then, to the other surprise of the class, he suddenly took a paintbrush and he wrote one word across the canvas. And that word was ampullus, and that means larger. Michelangelo was not rejecting the work, for it exhibited great skill and it was as good as far as it went. But the size of the canvas had made the design look cramped. He needed it to be expanded. Well, in a word, the prayer of Jabez is ampullus, that God make his life mean more and accomplish more for his kingdom of Israel. And our prayer is the same, that God would make our ministry bigger, make our value greater, and that we would accomplish great things for the kingdom of Christ during this coming year. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to make that decision. If you are a Christian and need the prayers of this congregation, the time now would be to come forward as together we stand and we sing.